إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثات بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. Then the topic of the lecture of Sheikh, who is with us here today, Sheikh Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan al-Halabi, حفظك الله, is his advice to the Muslim families in the West. The lecture itself will last somewhere in the region of about 30 minutes, and the rest of the period that will be taken up by questions and answers in written form, both from the brothers and from the sisters. So make the questions brief and to the point, because we will only have 45 minutes to answer them after the Shaykh's half an hour. So I'll pass it on to our noble Shaykh. Jazakumullahu khair. Tafaddal ya Shaykh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فعنوان محاضرتنا في هذا اليوم نصيحة للأسرة المسلمة في بلاد الغرب، وهو موضوع جيد، وإن كان القول فيه مضيقا فإن التوجيهات التي فيه والنصائح ستكون موسعة. ذلكم أن الأسرة جزء من المجتمع، وما يقال لها يقال له، وما يقال فيها يقال فيه. وهذا الموضوع يستلزم نصيحة تكون مقدمة لهذه الأسرة، لأن البناء إذا كان أساسه قويا على وارتفع بثبات وبقوة وبرسوخ، ولم يكن له لأن يضعف أو يهن. وهذه المقدمة هي موجبات اختيار الزوجين اللذين منهما تتكون الأسرة المسلمة. هل الإسلام راعى ذلك ووجه إليه وأرشد له، أم أنه غفل عن ذلك وفاته هذا؟ حاشا وكلا، لقد أعطى الإسلام موجبات اختيار الزوجية للذكر بالنسبة للأنثى، وللأنثى بالنسبة للذكر، الشيء الكثير الكثير. وهذا من تمام كمال نعمة الله على عباده، فالحمد له سبحانه أن جعلنا من المسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Sheikh started by giving the Khutbat al-Haja praising Allah and sending blessings upon and the prayers upon the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After finishing this brief introduction, he said, the title of this topic that we will give today is an advice to the Muslim family living in the West. And this is a very good topic, the Sheikh says. Even if speaking about it could be quite difficult, or quite, it's like a very restricted and a tight topic. But inshallah, the Sheikh says the advice that he will give upon this topic will be very vast and open and wide. The Sheikh says that the family is a part of the society, and its importance is known by that. Because that which is said to the family is said to the society. And that which is said about the family is said about the family. The Sheikh says this topic is such that it requires an introduction. An introduction in order to base the rest of the topic upon. Because if a building has a firm and strong foundation, then when it is built, it raises high and it stays firm, and it would never be to weaken. This introduction, the Sheikh says, are those things which the husband and wife would use to choose a good and suitable companion. The husband and wife, those two people that are the start of a Muslim family. The question is, did Islam speak about this issue and take care of this issue and deal with this issue, or did it neglect this issue altogether? Islam is far above that. Rather, Islam spoke about this issue and it gave rights and it gave choices and ideals for the husband and wife to use when they are choosing a suitable husband or a suitable wife. Things which are ideals which a woman would use in order to choose a correct husband, and ideals which a man would use in order to choose a correct man.
وهذا المبدأ القويم المبني على صراط الله المستقيم جعل الشرع والالتزام به هو أساس الاختيارات. ذلكم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مخاطبا أولياء الأنثى في التنبيه على حقيقة الزوج وجمال صفاته التي يجب أن تكون فيه حتى يقبل زوجا وحتى يكون أهلا لهذه البنت الطيبة الملتزمة بأمر الله. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا جاءكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه إلا تفعلوا تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. إذا جاءكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه. لماذا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام دينه وخلقه؟ مع أن الخلق من الإسلام والدين، فلماذا فرق بينهما؟ مع أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، وفي رواية إنما بعثت لأتمم صالح الأخلاق. وفي رواية ثالثة حسن الأخلاق. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام إن أثقل ما يوزن عند الله يوم القيامة في الميزان الخلق الحسن. لماذا؟ قال أهل العلم لأحد سببين. السبب الأول أنه قد يكون بعض من الناس أصحاب تدين في أنفسهم لكنهم لا يكونون ذوي أخلاق حسنة، وبالتالي فتكون أخلاقهم السيئة سببا في التأثير على دينهم. فعندما جاء ذلك الصحابي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكوه أذى جار من جيرانه له، فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخرج متاعك إلى الطريق. فأخرج متاعه إلى الطريق، فصار الناس يمرون به: ماذا حل بك؟ لماذا أخرجت متاعك إلى الطريق؟ فكان يقص عليهم ما جرى، يقول: لقد آذاني جاري فشكوته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأمرني أن أخرج متاعي. فكانوا إذا سمعوا ذلك قالوا: لعن الله جارك. كل من يأتي ويراه ويقص عليه القصة يقول: لعن الله جارك، لعن الله جارك. حتى وصل خبر هذه اللعنات إلى ذلك الجار المؤذي، ففزع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال له: يا رسول الله، لقد لعنني النار. فقال له نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقد لعنك من في السماء قبل أن يلعنك من في الأرض. لماذا؟ لأنه لم يكن عنده خلق يكون به عونا على جاره، مع أنه ذو دين وصحابي ويصلي ويصوم ويزكي ويحج، لكن لم يكن في تعامله مع جاره ذا خلق قويم. وعندما جاء الصحابة أو بعض الصحابة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكونه امرأة تصوم النهار وتقوم الليل إلا أنها تؤذي جيرانها، ماذا كان قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال: هي في النار، هي في النار، فليتق الله أقوام يؤذون المسلمين بالغيبة والبهت والكذب والنميمة والقول السيء والكلام الخبيث والتقول، كل ذلك جهلا من عند أنفسهم وإرضاء لشياطينهم وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ومن قال في مؤمن ما ليس فيه أسكنه الله ردغة الخبال، وهي عصارة أهل النار، أسكنه الله ردغة الخبال حتى يخرج مما قال وليس بخارج. إذن لابد من الجمع بين الدين والتدين من جهة، وبين التخلق بالأخلاق الحميدة من جهة أخرى. هذا هو الوجه الأول في فهم الحديث. أما النقطة الثانية ولا نطيل بها، فهي أن ذلك التفريق قد ورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دفعا للتوهم الذي قد يقع في العقول أو القلوب أن التدين هو فقط العلاقة بين العبد والرب، أما الخلق فهو العلاقة بين العبد والآخرين، فهذان أصلان متداخلان يكمل أحدهما الآخر ولا يجزئ عنه. من أجل هذا كان هذا التأصيل أو كان هذا التأصيل وكان هذا التقعيد من رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم ليكون هذا الزوج قائما بحق الله وقائما بحق عباد الله تبارك وتعالى. وبالتالي فإنه صالح لهذه المرأة، كفء لها.
So the Sheikh says that this basis, which is upright and based upon Allah's straight path, is the reason why I chose this topic to speak about. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the guardians of the women. He addressed them with regards to their marriage by saying to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody comes to you that you whose religion and whose manners, whose khuluq you are pleased with, meaning in order or asking you for your daughter's hand in marriage, or the person who you are in charge of her hand in marriage, if a person comes to you asking for the hand in marriage and his religion and his manners please you, then grant him his request, meaning marry him off. And if you do not do that, there will be fitna, trial, and widespread corruption in the land. So the Shaykh is saying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, his religion, he stressed, and he mentioned his religion and his manners. So why is it that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and specified these two things, his religion and his manners, even though we know that the religion, that the manners are included as a part of the religion, the deen. The manners are a part of the deen. So why did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam separate the two in this situation? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, or as the Messenger of Allah said in an authentic hadith, I have been sent to complete the good character, and I have been sent to correct the manners. And the Shaykh mentioned a third narration. And also the Messenger of Allah said, the heaviest thing in the scales on the Day of Judgment would be the good character. So why is it that these things have been mentioned with such virtue by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Shaykh says that the people of knowledge mentioned two things or two reasons. First of all, they said that maybe that there are people who are in their apparent state, people of religion holding fast to their deen, but maybe they have bad character and ill manners. And this bad character and these ill manners would affect them and have an effect upon their deen. So they would be weakened by that ill character. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Shaykh mentioned a story which took place, elaborating on this point. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man who was constantly and consistently being harmed by his neighbor. So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about this. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he ordered this man to remove all of the things from his house and empty them into his street, into the street in front of his house. So the man, he went to his house and he started to remove the things from his house, from all his property, and place it in front of his yard, his house. So as the people were walking past, they saw him doing this and saw him standing next to his property. So they asked him, why have you taken the property out of your house? So he would tell them the story, that this is what happened, my neighbor, he's consistently harming me, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to take the things out of my house. So they started to say, La'anallahu jarak, may Allah curse your neighbor. And every time somebody came past, they would ask him the same question, so he would tell them the same story. And they would say, may Allah curse your neighbor. Until these curses became so much, when the neighbor heard that these people are cursing him for each time that person is telling the story, he became very worried about the situation. And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, the people have cursed me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, indeed, he who is in the skies has cursed you before the people on the earth have cursed you. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him before the people cursed him. Why? The Shaykh says, because of his ill manners and his bad character and the harm he gave to his neighbor. Even though this person was a Sahabi, a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though this person used to pray, this was his fate. And in another situation, another story, a woman was told to have been harming her neighbor. She used to harm her neighbor, and the people, they complained to Rasulullah ﷺ about this woman. So he said, she is in the fire. So Allah has cursed people that speak about people, about other people in an ill way, speaking about them without knowledge, backbiting them, spreading rumors about them. Allah has cursed these people. All of these things are all lies and baseless talk that they say and they spread. And they think that they are doing good deeds. But they are being removed from Allah's mercy. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says about a believer that which is not in him, when he speaks something about that person which is untrue, then Allah will enter him into... What have the Qadr al-Khabal, is it? Mahu? Allah will enter that person that speaks about a believer with something which is not in him. He says something about him which is not true. Allah enters him into the fire. Which part of the fire? The Shaykh says that came in the hadith. Radafatul Khabal, those the people of the fire, when they are burnt and things are burnt off their bodies and they drop down. That filth and that dirt which drops off their body, that filth is called Radafatul Khabal. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described and it said that these people will be entered into this place and they will be asking to be removed from it. And they will never be removed from it. And the second point, or the second reason, the ulama mentioned with regards to the virtue of manners, and with the situation over here, why it was mentioned separately, or alongside deen, the religion, was in order to clear up any misconception or any doubt a person, or anybody might have had. That these two things are one and all thing, or one complete thing. Rather, the Shaykh says, the deen, the religion, is that relationship which is between the servant and between his Lord. And the manners, they are those things, that relationship which a person has, the servant has, amongst the people. And this is why this is a very firm basis to start on. And this is why the Messenger ﷺ stressed this point, because this is the firmest basis to start a healthy family and a healthy society upon.
وبعد أن قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قال إذا جاءكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه حذر من مخالفة ذلك ومن تنكبه وعدم الاستجابة إليه فقال إلا تفعلوا تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. أي إذا لم تطبقوا هذا الأمر ولم تستجيبوا له فسيصيبكم إثم أولا، وستوقعون الأمة في فساد عريض ثانيا. إن لم تفعلوا تكن في الأرض فتنة وفساد عريض أو فساد كبير. وأي فساد أعظم من الفساد الذي تقع به الأمة إذا خالفت أمر الله وإذا تجنبت وتنكبت هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبه هدايتها وبه سعادتها وبه نجاتها عند ربها. لذلك انظروا الى الاسر التي لم تقم على طاعة الله ورسوله، هل ترونها قائمة ام ترونها مهددة مهدمة؟ هل ترونها سعيدة ام ترونها تعيسة شقية؟ هل ترونها متوحدة ام ترونها متفككة؟ لان ما بني على فاسد فهو فاسد، واما اذا كان البناء كما قلت اولا قويا مؤسسا على حق وهدى كان الناتج عنه مثله قويا وفيه الهدى وفيه الحق كل الحق، ويقع تحت طائلة هذا التهديد ان يكون الاختيار ايضا لمن هو ذو دين دون ان يكون النظر الى تقواه والى معاملته مع الناس. فهذه اصول ثلاثة جمعتها وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل حيث قال اتق الله حيثما كنت، واتبع السيئات الحسنة تمحوها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، فمن لم يخالق الناس بخلق حسن ولم يرهم أعز ما يملك من أدب قويم وخلق كريم فإنه يكون قد أثر على دينه وعلى عمله وعلى صلاحه. وفي ذلك حديث صحيح صريح يقول فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن سوء الخلق لا يفسد العمل كما يفسد الخل العسل. إن سوء الخلق لا يفسد العمل كما يفسد الخل العسل. إذن الخلق القويم يرفع العمل ويعليه ويصححه ويصلحه، والخلق السيء يهدمه ويفسده ويسقطه. فكان لابد منهما مجتمعين معا حتى يكون الزوج قواما في أسرته بالحق وقائما على إصلاحها بالحق.
So the Sheikh continued to say, he said, so after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith, if a person comes to you asking for marriage, whose religion and whose manners please you, then marry him. He warned against differing from this order, differing from the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this regard, by saying, and if you do not do this, there will be trial, fitna spread in the land, and corruption, There will be trials and corruption spread in the land. Meaning, if you do not apply and go by this order, then firstly you will be sinful for doing that. And secondly, corruption will be spread in the land. So the Shaykh says, is there any corruption worse than that corruption which takes place as a result of differing from the order of Allah and the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So with this, advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lies the success of the family and its happiness and its pleasure to its Lord. So look, the Shaykh says, to those families who have based themselves upon other than this form of guidance, upon other than this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we see them upright or not? Do we see that these families are happy? Or are they really, actually are they sad, in a state of sorrow? Do you find these families in a state of unity? Or do you see them split up? So if the foundations were strong and firm, as the Shaykh mentioned earlier, then that which results from that firm basis would also be strong in a similar manner. And also, this warning that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, under it comes the responsibility to look into the righteousness and the taqwa of this person that is coming. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he mentioned the three principles, which he also mentioned to Mu'adh ibn Jabal before he travelled, by saying to him, O Mu'adh, have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will wipe it out. And deal with the people with good manners. So whoever deals with the people with good manners in such a way, then this person's deen, his religion, would be affected by that, and he would become righteous through that. And this has been made clear and been mentioned directly by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, bad character ruins the actions, just like vinegar ruins honey. Bad actions ruins and corrupts the actions, just as vinegar ruins and corrupts honey. So the Shaykh says, the noble character is that thing which causes the actions to be accepted, and causes the actions to be raised, and causes the actions to be correct. And the evil character is that thing which actually drops a person's actions and causes them to be unacceptable. And for this reason, this thing, the character, was the firm basis and the correct basis for both husband and wife to start on the correct ground and build a strong building upon.
هذا كله من جهة اختيار الزوجة لزوجها. وبالمقابل فقد أرشد نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم عن موجبات اختيار الزوجة أو الزوج لزوجته. فقال صلوات الله تعالى عليه وسلامه: تنكح المرأة لأربع، لمالها وجمالها وحسبها ودينها، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. هذه هي الأمور الأربعة التي يتنافس الناس فيها من صفات النساء، من صفات المرأة التي ستكون أم أولاده وشريكة حياته كما يقولون. أما أولها المال، فكم من الناس إذا تزوج لا يتزوج المرأة، إنما يتزوج مالها، يتزوجها لأنها تملك المال أو لأن أباها ذو مال، فإذا مات ورثته. ولو أن هذا فكر لعلم أن المال لن يخلده مهما عدده، وأنه سيتركه وراءه. وأما من نظر إلى الجمال وحط عنده الرحال، فهذا الجمال كم سيدوم؟ 10 سنوات، 20، بعد ذلك سيدخل الهرم والضعف والوهن، وبالتالي سيزول أيضا. وأما من نظر إلى الحسب والنسب والجاه، فهذا كله للدنيا وأهل الدنيا، وليس لله أو لدين الله فيه نصيب، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. النسب لم ينفع أبا جهل وأبا لهب وأبا طالب، ولم ينجهم، وكانوا من أرومة قريش ومن صلبها ومن عزها، لكنهم لم يكونوا مسلمين، فلم يمنعهم نسبهم، فلم ينفعهم نسبهم. بينما كان الدين نافعا لمن ليس له نسب، فهذا صهيب من الروم، وهذا بلال من الحبشة، وهذا سلمان من فارس، حتى قال فيه علي رضي الله عنه: سلمان منا آل البيت، لما عنده من دين وله ولما له من عمل صالح أرضى فيه رب العالمين. وأما المرأة التي يجب الظفر بها والفوز بها والعناية بها والاهتمام بها والبحث عنها، فهي ذات الدين، ذات الخلق، ذات الأدب، ذات الهدي، ذات السمت الحسن مهما كانت، فاظفر بذات الدين. تأملوا هذا التعبير اللغوي العربي، فاظفر من الظفر، والظفر تعبير لغوي يستعمل عند الحروب، فكأنه قال: أنت قد دخلت معركة فكن فيها مظفرا، ولن يكون ظفرك ونصرك إلا بهذه المرأة الصالحة، فإن لم يكن تربت يداك. تربت يداك أي التصقت يداك بالتراب، إشارة إلى الذل، وإشارة إلى الهوان، وإشارة إلى الخنوع الذي يصيب من خالف أمر الله ومن تنكب هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Shaykh continues by saying, everything we just mentioned is with regards to the ideas the woman uses in order to choose a righteous husband. And with respect to that, or opposite to that, we look into those things which the man uses, the ideals a man has when looking for the righteous wife. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman is married for four things: for her wealth, for her beauty, for her status, and for her religion. So take to the one with religion, may your hands be covered in dust. So these four things, they are the things that the people generally turn to when it comes to choosing women. These are the four things that people try to get and try to benefit from the woman. That woman that will spend the rest of their life with them and be their companion. So how many people you find they only married a woman for her wealth? He didn't marry her for any other purpose, hoping that when she dies, then he will inherit this wealth. And only if he knew, or only if he realized that this wealth would not continue to stay with him, rather it is something which disappears and will soon finish, then he would not fall in for such an action. When he dies, he leaves the wealth behind. And as for beauty, then how long will it last for? 10 years? 20 years? And then after that, old age comes about, weakness comes about, so the beauty is passed away. And how about status? The Shaykh says the status, this is for the dunya and for the people of the dunya. None of this is for Allah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, He whose actions slowed him down would not be sped up by his lineage. Meaning the fact that a person is from a high status or a lineage which is noble does not mean that he will be brought closer to Allah when he is taken to account, if his actions were not helping him in doing that. He whose actions slowed him down would not be sped up by his lineage. So the status or the lineage of nobility didn't benefit the likes of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Abu Talib in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these were some of the people who were of the most noblest of all lineage, noblest of all tribes. Didn't benefit them because they did not have Islam to go with it. And this religion, it benefited those people that had no lineage whatsoever, had no status whatsoever with regards to that. So here we have Suhaib from Rome, and another example, Bilal from Habasha, and Salman from Persia. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Salman al-Farsi, Salman is from the Ahlul Bayt. Ali? This is not a statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it is a statement of Ali that Salman is from the Ahlul Bayt, from the people of the Prophet's household sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because of what he possessed of religion, and because of what he possessed from actions which are acceptable to his Lord. So the woman that a person, that the people should be concentrating on, the woman that a person should be striving to get, is that woman who is high in her character and noble in her character. A woman who is described as such. So look at the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. Even in the hadith, he says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. So take to the one that has religion. The word used in the Arabic language, فَظْفَرْ, is from ظَفَرْ. And this word is usually used at a time of war, on the battlefield. When you get something, you say, and take the one, the woman that is righteous in her religion. And if this is not the case, and if you do not do so, the Messenger ﷺ said, may your hands be covered in dust. And this statement is made in order to show, or in order to belittle the person, and to show the lowliness of his action.
هذه هي الأرض الطيبة الخصبة التي سينبت منها الثمر وسيخرج فيها منها الزرع الطيب المبارك وستنتج الذرية المؤمنة المسلمة الآمنة المطمئنة. وبالتالي فإن كلامنا في نصيحتنا وقد آن وقته إنما هو موجه لأسرة هذا حالها، إنما هو موجه لأسرة اشتد بالحق ساعدها وقامت بالدين قاعدتها والتزمت بالهدى أطرافها، وليس لأسرة لا تقيم للشريعة وزنا ولا ترفع لربها رأسا. فهذا أمر آخر، ولهؤلاء كلام آخر يردعون به ويزجرون قبل أن ينصحوا به أو يذكروا فيه. أما أول نصيحة لهذه الأسرة أن يكون الزوجان متفاهمين متعاونين، كل منهما يعرف الحق على الآخر، ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. فكما أن للزوجة حقا على زوجها، فإن للزوج حقا على زوجته. فإذا أدى الرجل حقه لزوجته وأدت الزوجة حقها لزوجها، سارت السفينة إلى شاطئ الأمان بكل هدوء واطمئنان. أما إذا قصر الزوج في أداء حق أو حقوق، وقصرت الزوجة في أداء حق أو حقوق، فلن يكون من بعد إقامة لأي وزن من أي نصيحة، لأن الأسرة أول ما تتكون منك أيها الزوج، ومنك أيتها الزوجة، منك أيها الأخ، ومنك أيتها الأخت. فإذا لم تقيم حقوقكما الشرعية على وجهها الحق، لن تؤدي حقا ولن يقام لكم بحق.
So this is that tree which produces these fruits and produces righteous offspring, believing offspring, leaving the family in peace and being settled. And this advice that the Shaykh And this advice that I want to give, the Sheikh says, is to a family which is in such a condition as I have just described. A family that is based upon Islam. A family who has held fast to the rules of Islam. And this advice that I want to give is not given to that family who has not any time or any room for this religion. It has not given any weight to the deen of Islam. Those people who are such, who are as just described, they have a separate advice to be given to them. Or there are separate words that need to be said to these people before we are able to give them advice or remind them. So as for the advice that I would like to give the families, the Shaykh says, firstly, the Shaykh says that the husband and wife, they have to be two people who understand each other, or understanding people. And they have to be two people who are ready to work with each other. Each of them knowing the rights of the other upon him or her. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and upon them and upon her are rights just as they are for him. So if each of the husband and wife fulfill the rights for each other, then you will see the ship flowing smoothly, in peace and settlement. And otherwise, if this was not the case, then no advice would benefit them. Because the family starts from you two people. So if you are not giving each other their rights, the rights to each other, well, lost the flow there.
أما النصيحة الثانية فهي أن يحرص الزوجان ولنقل الوالدان على تربية ذريتهما وأبنائهما ذكورا وإناثا التربية الصالحة الإسلامية التي هي لا شرقية ولا غربية لتكون هذه الذرية مضيئة مشرقة منيرة ملتزمة بالشرع قائمة بالواجبات حتى إذا كبر هذان الوالدان لا يذهب بهما أولئك الأولاد إلى ملجأ العجزة ولا يبقيانهما في بيت يأتون إليهم مرة في العام يوم عيد الأم، لا، إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. لا يعرف هذه المعاني إلا الأبناء الذين ربوا على التقوى وعلموا أدب الإسلام وتخلقوا بأخلاق أهل الإيمان، ولن يكون ذلك إلا بالوالدين، فلتكن منهما التربية للأبناء تربية شاملة في العلم والعقيدة والخلق وكل شيء. أما في العقيدة فهذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم الصحابة وهم صغار، يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجد تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن يضروك بشيء ما كتبه الله عليك لن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف، تربية عقائدية. وأما التربية الإيمانية، ماذا يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ علموا أبناءكم الصلاة وهم أبناء سبع، واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء عشر، وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. كل هذا تربية إيمانية ليعرفوا قيمة الصلاة التي هي أعظم أركان الإسلام بعد الشهادتين. وكذلك التربية على الأدب والخلق. فهذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم الصحابة وهم صغار، يا غلام قل سمي الله وكل مما يليك، يا غلام سمي الله وكل مما يليك. أدبه مع نفسه في شرابه وطعامه. وكذلك ليحرص، وهذه نصيحة ذكرتها لإخواني في الله في أول زيارة لي لهذه البلاد قبل بضع سنوات، لتحرصوا أن تعلموا أبناءكم، بل أقول أنفسكم، لغة القرآن الكريم، اللغة العربية، التي أقول دائما إن اللغة العربية هي مفتاح الإسلام، لأن لغة القرآن هي اللغة العربية، ولغة نبي الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هي اللغة العربية. مهما كنت ذا ثقافة عالية رفيعة في اللغة الإنجليزية أو في غيرها من اللغات، لن تفهم القرآن حق فهمه، ولن تعرف الإسلام حق معرفته إلا إذا فهمت لغة العرب لتتدبر كلام الله. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها.
So the Sheikh says, continuing the advice he's giving to the husband and the wife, he says that to the husband and the wife, or rather the two parents, should strive to nurture their children, the females and the males, give them a righteous and an Islamic upbringing, neither too far to the east nor too far to the west, rather that which is lit up and given light to, holding fast to the Sharia, sticking to the obligations put upon it, so that if, or so that when the two parents become old, the children do not take them and leave them in old people's home, only to be visited once in a year. Rather, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and if one of them or both of them reaches an old age, then do not even say uff to them. Do not raise the slightest tongue to them. And say to them a kind word. And say to your Lord, O Lord, forgive them and have mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was young. These children, they would not even know how to take their parents to such homes after having been given such a correct and such a righteous upbringing based upon taqwa. And that only comes from the parents. And it comprises of teaching the children and concentrating them upon knowledge and upon aqeedah and upon good manners and upon every other thing. The Shaykh says, so with regards to aqeedah, here you find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching the Sahaba. Even at a very young age, where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Abdullah ibn Abbas, "Oh young boy, let me teach you a few words. Remember Allah, and He will protect you. Remember Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, then ask of Allah. And if you seek aid, then seek aid from Allah. And know that if all the people were together in order to benefit you with anything, they would not be able to benefit you except with that which Allah has already written for you. And if they were all together in order to harm you with something, they would not be able to harm you with anything except that Allah has already written that for you, or written that upon you. The pens have been lifted, and the pages have dried." So the Shaykh says this is an upbringing and an atonement upon aqidah, upon the correct belief and correct creed that the Messenger ﷺ gave to Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was very young. And as for with regards to the person's faith and his iman and his obligations towards this religion, then the Messenger ﷺ says, "Teach your children the prayer when they are 7 years old, and beat them if they do not pray when they are 10 years old, and separate them in their beds at that time, in order that they know the value of this prayer, this salah, and they hold fast to it, that thing which is the most or the greatest pillar of Islam after the two justifications of faith. And also with regards to manners and good character, here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the youngsters good manners and righteous character from a very young age while they were young. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh young boy," but he was eating his food, "mention Allah's name," meaning say Bismillah, "and eat from that which is directly in front of you." And another piece of advice the Shaykh wants to give in similar regard, he says, and this last thing that you should be teaching your children, rather you should be concentrating on yourselves as well. And I have been given this advice, the Shaykh says, "When I first came to this country so many years ago, I advised you with this advice, and I advise you again, is that you strive and try hard to learn the language of the Qur'an, the Arabic language, that language which is the key of Islam, that language which is the language of the Qur'an, and the language of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter how high your general knowledge may be, no matter how strong you may be in your own language, whether it's English or any other language, you will never understand the Qur'an with its true understanding, and you will never understand Islam in its correct way, fully, until you are able to learn the Arabic language." As Allah says in the Qur'an, do they not contemplate upon this Qur'an, or are their locks placed upon their hearts? So this contemplation only comes about by knowledge of the Arabic language.
أما النصيحة الثالثة فأن تكون الأسرة كلها متميزة بالشخصية الإسلامية، ليست متأثرة بالكفار لا ظاهرا ولا باطنا، لا في القول ولا في العمل. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: ليس منا من تشبه بغيرنا.
ولقد جاءت أحاديث كثيرة في النهي عن التشبه بالكفار شملت أبواب الدين كله. أن يبقى المسلمون متميزين بإسلامهم، مستعلين بإيمانهم، ثابتين على دينهم، لا يتأثرون بغيرهم بل يؤثرون، لا يتشبهون بسواهم بل لهم يغيرون. ولقد رأيت في هذين اليومين في هذه المنطقة وفي هذا الحي كثيرا من المسلمين، فأفرحني من ذلك من جهة، لأن المسلمين تجمعوا في مكان واحد، وقد لا تجد بين كل 10 من المسلمين كافرا واحدا، لا في الأشخاص ولا في البيوت، أقول قد، ولكن كانت هنالك مواقف شاذة، مواقف غريبة. ترى الرجل ذا اللحية ومعه بنته أو زوجته كاشفة عن شعرها وظاهرة سيقانها، وترى منظرا آخر، ترى الرجل بلا لحية ولا منظر التزام وهدي حسن، وترى أخته أو زوجته أو ابنته متحجبة ومجلببة. لماذا هذا التنافر؟ ولماذا هذا التغاير؟ ولماذا هذا التناقض؟ لماذا لا تكون الأسرة كلها كما نرجو لها وندعو لها أسرة صالحة؟ أنا أقول قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى، لكن في الوقت نفسه أقول إن المحيط الذي يعيشه المسلمون في هذه البلاد ذو تأثير عليهم نريد أن لا يكون، وذو أثر فيهم نريد أن لا يبقى ولا يستمر، وإنما نريد لهم أن يكونوا هم المؤثرين، هم المغيرين والمبدلين لما قد يواجهونه أو يرونه أو يسمعونه مما يخالف أمر الله ومما يناقض هدي وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Sheikh says, the third advice I would like to give to this family is that the family is one which is apparently displaying its Islam, showing clearly its connection to this religion, having Islamic characteristics in it, not being affected by the kuffar, by the disbelievers, neither in speech nor in actions. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever imitates a people, then he is from them. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not from us who imitates other than us. So the Sheikh says every aspect of the religion of Islam is full of texts speaking about the fact that the Muslims are, what's that word? متميزون. What's متميزون? That the Muslims should be distinguished amongst themselves, and that they should be, and that they should be such like that, not being affected by the West over here. And And the Shaykh says, I, after having stayed in this area for the last one or two days, have seen many, many Muslims. And this is something which, on one hand, I was very pleased with, such that you can hardly think that maybe to every 10 Muslim houses there may be one non-Muslim house. So many Muslims he saw, the Shaykh says. But at the same time, I was faced with some very strange situations, some very strange sightings, things which surprised me. So for example, the Shaykh says, I saw a man with a very huge beard, and next to him, a woman walking with him, her hair uncovered, and her shins uncovered. Also, the Shaykh says, I saw a man, clean shaven, all dressed up and beautified, and next to him, his sister or his daughter or something of the like, covered in hijab, fully covered. So why, the Shaykh says, should there be so much difference? Why should there be so much of a gap in one family? Why is it not that the whole family should be practicing Islam and sticking close to the huda, to the guidance from Allah? The Shaykh says, surely the guidance is from Allah. But they are living in a society which affects them. And we do not want it to affect them. It is strong upon them, and we do not want it to be strong upon them. We want them to be the ones who are affecting the society around them. We want them to be the ones who face the situations and bring the Islamic perspective. We want them to be the ones to give the Islamic perspective whenever the order of Allah and the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been negated.
واخيرا ايها الاخوه في الله نصيحتان موجزتان للاسره المسلمه في هذه البلاد وقد ابتليت ان تكون في هذه البلاد. اما النصيحه الاولى ان يكون من الاسره المسلمه سواء من رب الأسرة وزوجته أو أبنائهما وذريتهما أن يكونوا قدوة صالحة لغيرهم من غير المسلمين بأن يكونوا صادقين في معاملاتهم، صادقين في تجارتهم، صادقين في حسن عشرتهم، حتى يكونوا حقا مؤثرين. وكم من الكفار قد يسلمون إذا عرفوا أنك أيها المسلم على شيء ليس عندهم من خلق أو دين. أما النصيحة الثانية فهي أخطر قولا من الأولى، لكنها أكبر قدرا وأعظم على النفس وقعا وأشد على القلب فعلا، وهي أن يحرص المسلمون على الهجرة من بلاد الكفر طالما هي بلاد كفر لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا، والله الموفق. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
So the Shaykh says, oh my brothers, I will finish with two very small pieces of advice to the family. And the Muslim family has been trialed such that it has been, or such that it has been placed in a society of disbelievers. But the first of these advices, which goes to every member of the family, whether it's the head of the household or other than him, is that the whole family should be a good example and a clear example of Islam and righteousness. to other than them, from amongst the Muslims and the non-Muslims. They should be true and truthful in their actions, truthful in their dealings with other people. So how many of the disbelievers or the non-Muslims, maybe they accept Islam just after having seen that you have something in your religion which they have not got, and having been impressed by that. So be good examples, the Shaykh says, to yourselves and to the non-Muslims. And the second piece of advice which the Shaykh says, which is shorter than the first one, but its effect upon the heart is greater, and it is greater upon the person and his religion, is that he tries his hardest to make hijrah, to leave this land of the disbelievers and move to the land of the believers, the land of the Muslims. And Allah is the one who has success. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Jazakum Allah khair. Obviously there's no time for any questions or answers now since Maghrib is so close. So the Shaykh has just mentioned to me that he will try his best in the following lectures that are to come to answer some of the important questions that have come forward. And we ask you to forgive us for this. And secondly, to notify you that the next lecture will begin at 10 to 10:15. So if you start gathering at 10 o'clock here, and all the mashayikh will be here to answer your questions on the topics that have been noted.